Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by author Cynethia Williams. Cynethia Williams has loved romance novels since reading her first one at age 13. It was only natural that she would begin penning her own romances soon after. It wasn't until 2010 that she began to actively pursue her publishing dreams. Her first novel, You Can't Plan Love, was released in August 2012. When she isn't writing, this green queen, as dubbed by the state newspaper, works to improve air and water quality while balancing the needs of her husband and two sons. Well, welcome to the podcast, Cynethia.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate it.
So my first question, since you are a lover of romance for many years and definitely reading it before we probably should be, as myself, what was your gateway romance book?
Oh, geez. I can't even remember the first book
It's okay. I can't either, but some people, like, it really sticks out. So
I know, and I'm always impressed when they do, because if I don't write it down, I probably wouldn't even remember the book I read last week. But I can't remember my first book, but I do remember going to the library as a kid and finding them there, and then also going to the flea market. I grew up in a small town, and so the flea market, they'd have pre-owned books and getting bags of books and, with like the little Harlequin presents or whatnot. I was like 13, filling out the card on the inside to get free books.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
Yes. And so I would do that and have like the books delivered. And, you know, I was 13, so I didn't pay the subscription fee that I was supposed to do. But that was kind of like my introduction, the fact that I could find them at the library first, and then I could fill out the card and have them sent to my house. And then once I discovered them, and then I just started looking for them, because there wasn't a bookstore in the town that I grew up in, so I had to go to like the flea market and the library to get romances.
My mom, like, we live out in the country, and like civilization was like 20 minutes away. And so my mom would get the boxes delivered each month.
Oh, yes.
And so I devoured those way sooner than probably should have been.
Oh yeah, I it was so early, and I remember somebody asking my mom, was outside of the library, I was a teenager, and they're like, "You let her read those books?" And my mom was like, "Well, she's gonna learn about it somewhere." So,
So true.
and I guess it's not a bad place to learn about love and romances through a romance novel. But yeah, that was kind of my thing, and I just had access to what I could find. And so my dad even built me a small bookshelf, and then if I could happen to peek their series, that would be great. That was like a fun thing. Like, you may find a book that you really like, and then I'm like looking for that author the next time I go to the flea market or in the library or whatever. And so I might piece together parts of series or things like that. So that was kind of another fun thing I could do. But yeah, I probably shouldn't have been, but I don't regret it at all.
Like, that's the story of many of our lives, though.
Right.
So, do you have a subgenre that you tend to read the most now?
Well, I started reading more paranormals. I used to read historicals a lot. So when I was younger, because that was what it was easy to find at the flea market too, was like the big thick historicals, and I just liked them. And I didn't really want to read contemporaries back then. I couldn't relate to the secretary falling in love with like her boss or whatever. So I just wasn't into that. But being swept away into another world, with ball gowns and stuff, I thought that was cool when I was younger. And then as I got older, and started writing, I still it was hard to read contemporary, mainly if I'm writing contemporary. So I would mostly read like paranormals, and fantasy type romances. That was with, way, back in 2010, it wasn't really like romanticism was wouldn't call that. But that's still what I will lean towards. And then on really this past year, I've gotten back to reading a little bit more of the contemporaries and seeing reading like some of my favorites and then introduce myself to new authors as well. So yeah, that's I guess roundabout way of where I kind of read now.
Well, I mean, it's you'll do a little bit of everything. Like you have your go-tos that you like really dive into, and then the ones you're like, I'm gonna just give this a kind of a try and see what happens.
Yep, that's pretty much how I do it. If it sounds interesting, then or people are talking about it, I want to know what everyone's talking about because I'm nosy. So let me give it a
See, I'm the opposite. If everybody's talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna read
No, I'm like, what's going on? Everyone's
that.
talking about this interesting book. This is an interesting concept. Let me go read this and see if I get it or if I don't. And if I get it, I'm like, okay, cool. If I don't, I'm like, well, you know, I won't yuck anyone else's yum, so y'all enjoy.
So what made you decide to like hunker down and write that first book?
So I've been writing forever, as long as I can remember, before I was even a teenager.
Okay.
I would write. And then I hand wrote books when I was in high school. I still have those handwritten novels right next to me in my office and here at home. And so I would kind of dabble through college and even when I started my career, but I never really took it serious. I'm like, oh, it'd be great to be a romance writer, this fantasy. And I've told the story before, but I was at lunch with a colleague and she was like, yeah, I'm putting my resignation, I'm going to law school. And she was going to law school because she was talking to a guy who was kind of interesting. And she's like, I want to do that. And he said, why don't you? You can. There's no reason you can't. And so she was like, he's right. I can go to law school. And that was like my aha moment. I was like, hey, I can write a book. Like, I don't have to, what am I waiting on? Like, if she can uproot and, you know, we're both the same age, we both have, you know, kids the same age. And that was what made me kind of realize it. Like, I've been half writing books, I got stories started. What am I waiting for? If I want to be a writer, then write.
Why not?
And that's kind of what I did. I looked at the different stories I started and I just picked one and I said, I'm gonna finish this one. And that was kind of the thing. And from there on, I just kept writing.
So have you went back and finished more of the books that you had started, or do you often just start from scratch?
Start from scratch. So the one, I don't even remember what the other ones were that I started. I do have book ideas everywhere. I'm actually looking at a sheet of paper next to me and it says book. That so I have a bunch of stuff that I've scribbled and sometimes I go back to look at that, see what the ideas were and see if anything kind of sparks. But usually I write a lot of series. So I'll write the first book and then I'll think of stories for the other characters in the books and do that. But each series may kind of start off as a what if moment from watching TV or having a conversation with somebody or thinking about what I want to do with a character. It just kind of comes from everywhere. So
Like if you're
yeah, it would be
watch
interesting to find those old ideas.
like if you're watching a show and you're like, what if they ended this way type of thing?
So it'll be like two distinct things. I can remember back watching The Big Bang Theory at one time, and being like, well, what if, you know, it wasn't necessarily Penny and the other guy whose name I've forgotten because it's,
Leonard.
yeah, since I've watched that show. It wasn't just that, but I was watching that and I was like, well, what would it look like if it was like your neighbor you were kind of into and what would that be? That story be like, and not necessarily the nerd thing. And that turned into Just My Type, the first book in my Henderson series. And then another time, it was just a random night. Me and my husband were watching TV and I saw what was it called? Ghost Brothers on like the Travel Channel. There's these three guys, and three black guys investigating ghosts. And I was just like, somebody needs to write this story about this. This is amazing. And I think I even tweeted it before Twitter became a dumpster fire. And then I was like, "Who? Why are you waiting on somebody else to write it? You write it." And so then that became my Heart and Soul series, where I just like, what if I write a story about three investigating and three brothers, real brothers, who were just kind of investigating ghosts on the side?" And so then that became that series. So It'll be like that. I'll see stuff and be like, what if I did that but this way? Or what if I tried it that way? Or somebody tell me another one. It was a friend who it was a coworker who said, I would hate it if my best friend started dating my brother. And I was like, why? She's like, because then it wouldn't be my best friend anymore because I couldn't tell her my secrets because then she'd go tell my brother. And I was like, I never thought about that. What if,
I'm gonna write a book about that.
right, what would that look like? Because brother's best friend is a popular trope.
It
So it'll
is.
be all that kind of stuff that'll just make me say, what if? And then I see if I can. Sometimes the what ifs don't amount to anything and I can't flesh it out into a full story, but
Yeah.
that's usually how it comes about.
See, I mean, not as a writer, but like as a reader, like we'll come across things and it's like, oh, I would read a book about that. So then we
Right.
like try and manifest it into the universe and be like, author friends, if you need an idea,
Look at this.
we need this book.
Right. That's usually just keep putting it out there. Somebody
Somebody will write it
will
eventually.
eventually write it, but that's usually how my ideas come about. It's
No, I
like,
think that's a great thing.
yeah.
So, how do you approach creating a compelling story and a relatable characters along with the romance?
Yeah, I think it has to almost, I don't know if for me, I can't really separate it.
Okay.
And I've realized that as I've written more, I can't say I thought about this particularly when I first started, but as I continued to write, I realized that I'll write a whole book and then I don't know who my characters are until the end,
Okay.
right? And so then it's like I realized, no, I really need to know who they are, know what they want, and know what their thoughts and feelings are about love and romance so that I can make sure I have the character grow, but then also how they grow in this relationship makes sense to the character.
Right.
So for me, it's one and the same. If I'm going to write a character that's going to fall in love, then I really need to find if they're afraid to fall in love, why? And would this be a reason that readers could relate to? Or if they're have trust issues, can you relate to that based off of what's happened with their family life or their friends? And I always also from the very beginning, I wanted to write characters who weren't perfect.
Right.
I don't like perfect characters when I read myself. Someone who just always gets it right and they're always great and they always make the right decisions and the truth, justice, in the American way. I don't want that. And so I want characters where even if you like the decision they may have made, you can understand it. So I've always wanted to write characters that I feel like the reader could say they could imagine they could
Right.
see this person in real life, but I also have to think about what their personality will look like in a relationship as I build that relationship up.
Well, I mean, and that's very realistic. Like, nobody's perfect. We all are flawed. We make poor decisions. Like, those decisions affect, like, our lives, like going forward. I think that's a great way to approach your character.
It does. And even because I like to write series and stories where, family or friends come into play, all those other relationships can play into how you walk into a romantic relationship. Whether you're open to it, you're afraid of it, you're comfortable with your body, you're uncomfortable with your body, you're comfortable with talking, you don't know how to communicate. A lot of that stuff can come into play in your other relationships as well. And so it's not that it's just how that character is in love, but what built that character to make them be that way in love as well.
Do you have any rituals or habits that help you stay focused while you're writing? That is a no.
Sometimes it's take my phone and throw it across the room. So like where I'm sitting, I'll just throw it so I won't look at it. So, all right, so I've been kind of like after I finished Frenemies with Benefits, I've been taking like a mental break.
Okay.
I've written 32 books and novels since 2012, and like my brain was just like, stop, take a
Right.
break. Let's just kind of reboot. So last night, as I was writing and working on a new proposal, I said, let me do like my ritual. And then I realized I do have one.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like sit here at my desk, have my essential oils going. I have a cold going on. I probably sound all nasally, but have that going to kind of help me focus. All stereotypical. Eva, I was like, let me put on one of my tiaras. Let me put on some rhinestones. So I'll sit here. I did all of that last night, and then I sat back at my desk, and I was able to get into the flow. So some of that is part of my ritual, is like I need to just, what is the stereotypical romance writer? She's sitting around in her silk robe with the tiara on and drinking wine. So
Is it
sometimes I will do all
fur-lined?
that. I
The
have one of
fur.
those. I have two of those.
I always think of like the 80s romance writers, like their headshots and like lounging on the chase with their robes and their cats and
Yes.
just
Yes,
very fancy.
I have a pig chase in my office. I
Oh.
do have a cat. Her name is Georgia.
Is she white?
She's black though. She's a little calico. But yes. So I do have to kind of like, yesterday I realized I know I have to get like in the romance writer frame of mind, or my version of romance writer. I do also write in sweatpants and all that stuff too, like a lot of people say. But sometimes I just have to go full-fledged.
Like
This is
all out diva
all out.
mode.
Yes. Family, kids are used to it. I walk downstairs, I have on this huge tiara and I have on this robe, and they're just like, all right.
She's in writer mode
I'm in
tonight.
writer mode, and I did really well in writer mode.
Do you face any challenges as a romance author? And if you do, how do you overcome them?
Oh yeah. Different kind. Well, first, the first one is just the challenge of writing in itself, you know. And I don't remember where I was or who said it. It was at some conference, but years ago, but somebody said that writing is hard because you want it to be good. And
Yeah.
that really clicked for me. That so my first challenge is just getting it out of my own head of, oh, this is gonna be horrible, or oh, you know, especially online, people are gonna counsel you, or they're gonna tell you
Oh,
it's
yeah.
trash, or you know, you'll be thinking of a story like, I want to write an enemies to lovers, and then you'll go online and everyone's like, enemies to lovers sucks, no more. Right. So the first challenge is to shut out the noise
Yeah.
and to be like, yes, I can write. The other challenge, and that I can kind of control to a certain extent, that's me. Just still write the book, see what happens, put it out there, readers like what you like. The other challenge is just being in the publishing industry in general, and putting yourself back out there, going back out on submission, having people say, oh, I can't relate to this, or oh, we don't want this. And that combined with the challenge, it can make it easy to say, why even bother? Like, I
Right.
should just don't even worry about it, because you know, publishing is gonna suck, no one's gonna want to buy it, and no one's gonna want to publish it. This, that, and the other. But then it's like, no, you have readers, they always are out there, and they're gonna want to see what you put out there. So those have been my two big ones. It's just getting out of my own head, and then not letting the realities that that sometimes publishing may not want to promote you, may not want to purchase the book, or you know, not having the time to self-publish if I want to, but still saying, let me sit down and get the story out.
Is there a piece of advice that present author you would tell past author you?
Take it seriously from the start. I don't think I took it serious when I first started. It was
No.
the, yeah, no, I didn't. It was the, yeah, I'm gonna write this book and I'm gonna get it published and I'm gonna see what happens. And you know, people are like, you should use a pseudonym because you work in government. And then I was like, oh, I'm just doing this first book. I don't know what's gonna happen with it.
Right.
So I'm not making up a pseudonym, and I didn't. Like, that's Sanithia Williams is my name. And not thinking that I was, I guess the same not having that confidence in myself that I would have more books that would come out,
Yeah.
right? And so I worked really hard. I was very dedicated and driven to like get as many books out and keep writing books. But early on, I don't think I appreciated that, I do have a distinct voice and that, I should take this starting as serious and not as, hey, let's just see what happens. And when it does happen, be like, oh, it's a fluke accident. It's like, no, it wasn't a fluke accident. You're talented. People like what you want to do, and take yourself seriously as a writer from the start.
I think that's a great piece of advice.
Yeah.
So we found you through Peachtree Cove.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the chaos and the delightfulness that Peachtree Cove gives us. And so book one we read for one of our Sip and Discuss episodes and with Amani and Fedora loving Cyril.
Yes.
What was the inspiration for this series? What was your what if on this series?
I think that was a brainstorming session. So book one and book two were all kind of mashed up in that original brainstorming session, even though I didn't have book two quite fleshed out. But it was brainstorming, thinking about different book ideas, and then and it was cool. And then I think it might have been my editor or somebody just kind of saying offhand of, I would be really upset if I found out my mom was, dating some guy they met online. And that was the what if. It was like, huh. My parents, have been together for, it'd be 45 years in a month. So I can't imagine that right now, but that's kind of how it was. I mean, what would it look like if my parents weren't together and my mom just decided she's marrying some guy that she met online? What would I do? And so that was kind of the what if that led to the first book in the Peachtree Cove series. And then from there, it's just my overactive imagination throwing all the rest of the stuff in there.
Well, and they're a messy bunch, a
Yes.
delightful bunch, but a
Yeah.
messy bunch.
Small towns are not nice like they are on Hallmark
Oh,
movies.
they no, they're not. There's a
Yeah, they're
lot of
not.
chaos, there's a lot of
Yes.
mess.
Yes.
There's a lot of gossip.
There is.
But no, there was something about these characters that I couldn't get enough of. Like I needed and I love a messy book. Like there's just something about that chaos that like draws
Yes.
me in. And we read book one and then I instantly binged the rest of the series and I was like, I just need more of these people. Well, in book two, you don't Like, I mean, granted, from the blurb, you know what's gonna happen, but it's like, how is she gonna make this happen? Because, for a while, I'm like, nobody knows anything yet.
Yes, that was the like a twist on the secret baby trope, right? It was kind of the same what if, because I said like the book one and two were both ideas in my brain, and then that one also stuck too, because I think maybe I had read an article, saw something on the news, but you see these things where Ancestry or 23andMe is like ruined lives. And then I was like, and this one in case it didn't necessarily ruin a life, but it's like, well, what if?
What if?
And then it's like, how do you even make that happen? Like, why would he be there donating in the first place? Right. And that was just completely my imagination. No, I read different articles, and then I see stuff about a guy donating and having kids everywhere or something. And so,
Well, there's that one guy, a few years ago, he had like 200 kids or something like that
right.
because of his donations. And I'm like,
Yes.
well, there's a place that had no regulations.
Exactly. Just like spread it around, spread the love.
Yeah,
So
it's
it's
just,
just.
well, and it's one of those things where for a long time it was a very taboo thing, like becoming a single mom on purpose by choice, like people didn't talk about it.
Right. And that's what I even put in there with Hallie, is the fact that she knew if she would have told her family, because I mean, And I even remember hearing conversations from, distant relatives and stuff in small towns saying stuff that's ridiculous stuff like, well, I don't know if you could trust if you adopted a kid because you don't know what their family was like, and it's just like, really? If somebody wants to adopt a child and give them a home, like, why are you worried about all the other stuff? Or immediately going to what could negatively happen. So that, to me, I wanted that to be a relatable thing, why she wouldn't come home. Tell her family because she doesn't want her daughter to experience that potential backlash or negativity from the decision that she made. But then, haha, small town blows up.
Well, because the daughter won't let it go. Like, she needs to
Right.
know.
She has to, and teenagers won't let stuff go.
I mean,
So,
they're fairly resilient when they get their
yes,
minds made up.
very much so. I have two in the house right now. So, yes.
You understand that chaos.
Yes, I do.
Well, and then book three, like, you have these two people who, like, seemingly don't like each other at all, but that's not the case at all. But Tracy's story, it kind of like tiered through all of the books, and then you're like, well, how is that gonna happen?
Yeah, and what's funny is that so when I started writing Secret to a Southern Wedding, I did not know exactly what Tracy's story was going to be. I think it's probably not exactly what's in this, whatever I pitched to my editor. But as I was writing The Secret to a Southern Wedding, because I really didn't know who I wanted Tracy to be with, it was during the process of writing that where I was like, I think it's going to be Brian. And then in book two, that's when I was like, yeah, I think. Is I mean I could still change it. I mean obviously my muse could go somewhere else, but I was like, I really think it's gonna be Brian. So it wasn't intentional to start to kind of set up book three through the other two, but that's just kind of how writing goes sometimes. Your imagination just leads you down the right road, and that's how it ended up. And I also like it so that even if you come into book three and haven't read one and two, you don't feel lost. And I think that's part of the because I wasn't exactly sure if I wanted her to be with Brian in book three, so that you don't feel like you're completely lost if you come in book three.
So when you're doing your series, you don't seem like you really plan too hard. Are you more of a pantser, or do you have like a loose plan? I mean, because you're traditionally published, so you have to have somewhat of a plan.
I am very much a planner, but my earlier series were not as planned out. So my first series was with Crimson Romance, which was straight e-publishing first, and then they got bought out by Simon Schuster Challenges in Publishing. And then when I started writing for Harlequin, the first series I had with them also wasn't a planned out series. It was like, I'm just writing this fantasy about a nurse who meets my version of Idris Elba and they fall in love in New York. And then they're like, write more books. And I was like, oh, how do I tie this together? So, but then when I like really started thinking from the very start, this is going to be a series, I do try to at least plan out what I think will happen in each book, even though as I begin to write, something may shift and then it may change something later in a book. Or I've written something and wanted to change it in a later book, but I've already kind of submitted it in an earlier book, so I kind of got to go back and remember what I said in the first book. But I do plan each book that I'm writing as I'm writing it to stay on deadline. And because I work full time, my kids are big now. They're teenagers now, but they were young when I started. So I really needed to be a planner in the sense of I've only got a finite amount of time to write each day. So if I'm going to write from 9 to 10 o'clock, I need to know what I'm writing about. I need to have my book plotted out. I need to know what each chapter is going to be about, even though it won't be exactly what I started with. I'll let my imagination still flow, but I have to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to get those books written without some type of plan.
I mean, kids are a little needy when they're little.
They are, but they understand. They're really great too, and they know when mommy's writing, or if they come in here, I'll stop and pay attention, and then they like at school and tell their teachers and stuff. So they're I think they're a little happy that mommy writes too.
Yeah. That's exciting though that they're supportive of that, 'cause not every writer like has that.
I'm super lucky, and I do appreciate the fact that I've been very supported by my family. My husband, before RWA imploded, he went with me when I went to my first RWA conference, and he supported my writing before that, but we went to the Rita Award ceremony, and it's like 2,000 writers, and it's like the big screen, and not the Oscar, but and the Rita goes too, right? And the first time he saw that, I remember him looking around the room, and then he looked at me, and he was like, "Yeah, this is good. Keep doing this.
Yeah.
Keep doing it."
He had a new
Right? And I,
appreciation for it.
yeah, seeing that it was big, and he always supports me. So if I had to travel for conferences, he was good with the boys. I've set up at festivals. The boys have come with me while I'm there. And my parents just show up. If I'm doing a book signing locally, my
That's
sister
awesome.
will show up. And then even coworkers. So I haven't, now I had one jerk coworker early on who's like, "Do you ever want to write like the great American novel instead of romance?" No, dude, I'm writing a great American novel. Who wants to read that? It's like, write fun stuff. But for the most part, all coworkers and colleagues, as soon as they find out, they just think it's great because it's so different from my day job. And I've had male colleagues who tell their wives, or then they come and buy a book and give to their friends, and then they come back and it's like, people who I would never have read romance if they didn't know I was writing it would are like, "That's great. I want to support you, Sanithia. I'm gonna go and get one of your books. How do I
That's
find it?"
amazing.
And everything. So I've been very lucky in that sense.
That's wonderful. So what's next? You said you've taken a break and you are writing a new series. Or is this something you can talk about, or is it still? Because I know with pitching and things like that, a lot of stuff is secretive, but
So I'm working on a new idea that I want to send to my agent and see what happens with that, which I'll probably, even if it doesn't go traditional, I really want to write the story, and I'll probably still put it out there because it plays with the theme of reincarnation and past lives. Because that really hit me in my time I was on break. I watch a lot of K-dramas, and then even the movie Bad Boys, whatever, four, had a like past lives theme, and I was like, "The universe is telling me to write this book." So that's what I'm working on. So I have that synopsis and first four chapters written that I'll be polishing up, and then I also have an idea for a new contemporary romance that I'm working on. So nothing finalized, but my goal
Lots
to
of
myself,
thoughts.
yes, is that by the end of the year that I will have both, well, I say end of the year because summer is going to be like a wash.
Oh, I know. Well,
Yeah,
and
so
honestly, we are more than halfway through
right,
2025 already,
I'm like,
which is
so
crazy.
I cannot believe it's July. So I'm
I
gonna work on having both of these proposals done and sent out by then. And then even yesterday I was thinking about something my sister said, and she was like, "You should write a bunch. You love mess. You should write a bunch of just messy short stories." And I was like, "Oh, maybe I
Oh, I
should
would read
do
those. I, well, because
that."
I love a novella. And
Yes.
if an author can do a novella right, like I am all over that. And a messy novella at that,
Yes.
oh, I am there for all of it.
Yes. So that's where I'm at, and it took that long to kind of
Reset.
be overcome from the being burned out. I forgot how many books I wrote during the pandemic, but it's been, two books a year, two or three books a year, working and everything else. And so I really needed this last year to be like, it's just,
Well, and fall in love with writing again.
yes, yep. And I have, even though I have to do full diva mode to get myself there.
Hey, whatever works. But I mean, the burnout is real. I know a lot of authors are pulling back on their publishing schedule because they're tired.
I was tired, and it took my sister even telling me, Sometimes like you know stuff, but you got to hear it from somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I was burning myself out and doing everything. And she was like, "Sunithia, you've read a lot of books, books and novellas. So it's okay if you take a long time to write your next one. Like you don't have to rush it. Like you've earned that." And I said, "You know what? That is right." And I mad props, big ups to the authors out there who will continue to write 2 and 3 books a year. I wish you all the best, but I've accepted that I cannot keep, that's not sustainable for me anymore.
No, I think that's fair. And I think that you're aware of it is a great thing because there's a lot of authors who they just keep pushing and you can tell.
And I don't want to keep pushing because again, I want to, whatever I
Enjoy.
write, I want to enjoy it because publishing is hard, like the publishing industry. And I don't want to write something that I don't enjoy and then I put it potentially out for submission to potentially get trash, right, by editors. And then I've lost my, my cat just was like, pay attention to me. Sorry.
It's fine.
Right. And then I've like set myself up to be torn down for an idea that I didn't care about. Whereas if it's a story I really love, even if publishing industry isn't interested into it, I'd still would put it out there myself, indie publish it, and let my readers still see a different side of my creativity.
Well, I look forward to anything that comes out from you anytime soon, and I will definitely keep my eye out for it.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Well, and thank you so much for joining me for this author spotlight.
Thank you. I appreciate it's been a fun conversation.
It has.
So
Like I said before we started, these are one of my favorite things to do for the podcast because just talking, every author has a different experience, every author has a different process. Like I love doing these.
it's, I like to hear from other authors and I listen to their podcast interviewing other authors too, because I like to hear how people got to the genre and how they approach it in different ways. So, yeah, and even when people are like, oh, well, romance is all the same. No,
It's not.
it's not.
It isn't. And
It's not
everybody's journey is completely different. Like their
completely.
reason for starting, how they started, like it's so different person to person.
Yeah, just like real life relationships are different. And that's what I tell the non-romance readers in my life. I'm like, how, and I ask people, how did you and your wife or how did you and your husband get together? And no one's story is the same. And then the stuff that they do, how they propose or how they met or how they plan dates, or, I'm like, that could go in a romance novel. So shut up
You're
if
like,
you
I'm gonna
tell
take
me.
some notes now.
I do, and some people have given me permission to put that their stuff in books.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.